Amen. Again, it's good to see everybody out to home group meeting tonight here in October. And it's always wonderful to have special friends. And tonight, as I promised in September, as I shared that this month we would be blessed to have Pastor S.J. Peter from Hyderabad, India, and his very charming wife. I tell you, they arrived Saturday and we haven't stopped. We've just been gone, and he's just been blessing some churches we visited, and he's just blessing Karen and I, and we just love him very, very much. And Pastor Peter has a tremendous ministry in Hyderabad, India, called Dawn Ministries, discipling and witnessing all natives. And this has a wonderful ministry, and he's just touching lives, and it's just an honor to be connected with him, and just to be called his friend. And I just really appreciate that. And so I'm going to go sit down in a second. I'll just turn it over to Pastor Peter. But Pastor Peter, I want you to know that I love you very much. And I'm just so impressed with all that you do around the world for so many people. And Helen, I've seen a different side of Helen. And I was just so impressed with her. We were at the school today, and it was just great. And so anyways, I love you, my brother. Please come and share the word of God. Amen. Pastor S.J. Peter.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for the time given to me. And I really appreciate Pastor Dale and Sister Karen. They have been those wonderful people to me and to my family and to Dawn Ministries all these years. For the last 7 years, almost 14, 15 years, we have been friends and co-workers in the Lord's Vineyard.
Amen.
Yeah. We are just co-workers in the Lord's Vineyard, and it's a great privilege for me to come to their homes, staying with them along with my wife Helen. They really loved us. They received us with great heart and gave a wonderful hospitality during our stay. Not just this time, every time, whenever I come, I had a wonderful opportunity. They really loved me so much. And Sister Betty, for the first time we met her, at the Ecclesia Church. But again, she is here. I'm very glad to see her again. And she is so loving and, God-fearing sister. And so it's awesome to have her this evening with us. Now, as mentioned by Pastor Dale, Dawn Ministries, discipling and witnessing natives. Sometimes very hard. For the people from different countries, it's too much hard, but for us, it is hard. Even though we know their culture, language, but we do not know their heart.
Yes.
We must know their heart. When we know their heart, it is very easy for us to lead them to the Lord.
Right.
That's why native people, different cultures, different languages, of course, they all belong to Hindus, Hindu religion. In India, so many languages are there, so many castes are there. In spite of all that, to gain them for Christ, we must go to them.
Yes.
Unless we go to them, we cannot gain them for the Lord. Unless we become one of them, we cannot gain them for Christ.
That's right.
You know, Jesus Christ, He became one of us.
Really?
He came all the way from heaven down to earth. He lived among us. And He has experienced all human suffering, you know,
right,
all bitterness. He lived with us, and He lived along with us as a human being, right?
Right.
And the same way, we must reach people, you know, by approaching them, by, you know, going to them, you know, telling them, preaching them the love of Christ. This evening I want to share from Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, you know, verse from 25 to 37. Okay, to read this, I better read this for you. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I have the Bible NIV version. Okay, 26th verse. "What is written in the law?" He replied. How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You know? And verse 28, "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he answered, he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other road, other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. When he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. My dear friends, this is a big story, you know. Well-skilled expert came to Jesus Christ, right? Here we see different people in this passage. Lawyer, the wounded man, you know, the priest and Levite, and Good Samaritan. Four people, you know, four kinds of people, right? Lawyer, he was a great expert in the law. Usually, you know, lawyers, they have very good knowledge about law. I have a lawyer friend in India. Now and then he used to come to me and, you know, share something about the court issues, you know, law. He speaks always about the law. But I am very blind of that, all that stuff. But I know the law, the book of law here, the Bible. I know the law. I speak to him about this law, you know. Then he speaks world law of the world, but I speak the law of the heaven.
Yes.
You know. And this liar questioned Jesus. He had actually two questions. The first question was, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That was the first question. You know? And he made a mistake, so as many do, of thinking that salvation and life come by doing something good. But what scripture says, scripture clearly teaches us that we are not only saved by our own works, but, you know, by faith.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
And Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, works are the results of salvation, no, not a means of obtaining it. No. The liar answered very boldly to the question of the Lord answered him in a nice way. The Lord referred him to the law, you know. What is written in the law? The Lord said, right? And you know the passage is there, you know, the lawyer explained what was, you know, written in the law, you know, loving God with all heart, you know, all that stuff, you know. And then lawyer also had a second question. When he narrated the whole story, you know, loving the Lord with all your heart, he said, oh, something like that. And then, at the end, he said, love your neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
And the Lord said, oh, you are very perfect in the law. You told us, you know, you told me very clearly, you know. And then, the Lord said, very good word, the Lord said, you know, do this and you will live. Go. That's it. What you told is correct. And the lawyer has second question. Who is my neighbor? Right? Who is my neighbor? Sometimes we forget our neighbors. We ignore our neighbors. whether they had their salvation or not, they are saved or not, whether they are reached with the gospel of Christ or not, now whether they have tasted, experienced the love of Christ or not, we never bother about that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. We need to know our neighbors, and we must reach people. And this, the second question, who is my neighbor? And the Lord started telling a story, a wonderful story. No? A man actually was traveling from, you know, he came from Jerusalem down to Jericho, which is very bad. Sometimes, you know, Jerusalem stands for holy, good place, blessed place, you know. But this fellow, he left that holy place, blessed place, and started moving to Jericho, which is a curse, you know. Jericho was a cursed place. Not good. This God did not like that. But this man started going, you know, leaving Jerusalem to Jericho. See, what was happened in Old Testament, Book of Ruth, you know, for, you know, small sufferings, Naomi and her husband left Bethlehem and went to Moab. Moab is a cursed place, not blessed nation. God did not like that. Heathen people, you know, God did not like that. But this family, what did they do? For simple reasons, for simple suffering, they could not tolerate. See, if I don't have food, breakfast, should I attempt something? If I don't have food to eat for lunch, should I do something wrong? I should tolerate, you know, till God gives. But shortcoming, you know, small sufferings, they could not tolerate, and you know, they look to the world. Moab, like world, representing world.
Yes.
They look to the world, oh, flourishing country, green pastures, here, Bethlehem, oh, starving. Let us leave this place and go there. No, many Christians also do the same thing.
Yeah.
The, you know, the place where you are being fed by the world very well, you must just stay back.
Yes.
You must be there. But some people just seeing to the world, they leave the place, they leave the church and go to some other church where they'll be taught.
Yeah.
No?
Right.
In our life, we do that. You know, this Naomi and her husband did the same, and they faced so many hardships. They lost everything. Naomi, if she lost her husband, her sons, you know, again, she got reminded, you know, oh, look to the Bethlehem. Now Bethlehem is okay. Let me go there. That way, you know, this man, he wants a blessed place, a very good place, you know, holy place. Now leaving this holy place, going to Jericho. When he started going there, and he faced hardship. And thieves came and attacked him, you know, beat him and hung him, right? That is one lesson. Okay? Now, when the fellow was suffering, when fellow was badly injured, wounded, you know, what happened? The gentleman, you know, he's just about to die, suffering, you know, someone, you know, should help him. He has no help from anyone, crying bitterly, you know, like a sinner.
Yes.
You know, he falling in sin, living in sin, you know, oh, not able to come out of the sin. Someone go to him and help him, you know, to bring him out from the sin to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, that way, someone needed. A gentleman, a priest, oh, reverend, you know, he came there and went near where he saw, simply he escaped. If I touch him, it will be a big problem, big job. No, I have that much urgent work to do. Better not to take care of him. So he simply went other way. Right?
Right.
And the Levite came. Levite also, who he saw? Levite, oh, he always, you know, tells about the rules and regulations.
Mm.
You know? Priest always says, oh, this is the word of God said, you know, this is the word of God said, this, that, but they never act. Always talking about this, about that, but never act. And if your faith without actions, no good.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
You know what James said in second chapter, right?
Yeah.
This what happened actually. Priest did not help him. No actions. Always he is habituated to preach. No action. You know, when time comes, is he supposed to help? Time has. He at the right time, he was there, and the fellow actually needed help, but this man, no, simply went away. The same way, Levite also, he did the same way. He went out. You know, that was really bad. You know? So, wounded fellow was naked and was really helpless, you know. He represents those who need our help regardless of race, caste, culture, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these two gentlemen simply left him, did not help.
Yes.
You know. Many Christians are like these now.
Yeah.
You know, like priest and Levite. These two people represent those who profess to be Christians.
Yes.
You know, but they were engaged in service of the temple, doing good work for God. But there is no good deeds. They have no faith in, no action. They opportunity, they did deny.
Yep.
They got an opportunity to help that poor wounded fellow, but they deny. You know? Now, a Samaritan king, right?
Okay.
What did Samaritan do? Actually, Jews and Samaritans are enemies. They don't like each other.
Yes.
You know? Always, oh, Samaritans were all, they were looked very bad by Jews, you know. Some don't put it, you know, like in India, high class people, low caste people. High class people look, the low caste people, oh no, they should not come to us, they should not touch us. Like that, you know.
Right.
But, you know, the Samaritan, in spite of all that, he did not keep it, all that in mind. Jews, they look at us like enemies. Why should we go and help this man? He did not think that. You know? he had passion. You know, he had a very good heart for the wounded fellow. He put himself in the wounded man's position. Right? What did he do? Samaritan? He put himself in the wounded man's position. He came where he was. You know, verse 3 says, he came where he was. If we have to give those in trouble the sympathy and the, you know, practical help they need, we must put ourselves in their place. Ezekiel did this literally with the captives. You know, Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 15 says, and this Samaritan, second thing what he did, you know, first he put himself in the wounded man's position. The second, he had compassion on wounded man. What's the third case? No, he had compassion on wounded man. You know, there was no mere passive feeling of emotion, for he bound up his wounds, pouring his oil and wine. His help cost him physical strength, for he himself walked, supporting the wounded man on the beast, and it cost him time and money. His own journey was delayed, you know, because, you know, when he started helping him, he's supposed to go on his way to do some job, but he left all that, you know, his own journey was delayed, you know. But he took care of the wounded man at the inn were set for sex. And the third thing, you know, the good Samaritan did, you know, he went the second mile, you know. The Samaritan went second mile, you know, did much more than his duty. He asked the host of the inn to take care of him, you know, and if there were any further expenses, he would pay, you know, when he returned. Verse 35 says, you know, any help that is really worthwhile must mean self-denial in some direction. This good Samaritan, you know, was indeed a good neighbor who loved in times of need, and he did. John 3rd chapter verse 18, you know, his deed was all the more praiseworthy because the Jews and the Samaritans regarded each other as enemies. You know, this whole story was taking place like that. And what the Lord said to the lawyer, you know, after telling the story, you know, who is my neighbor, yeah, and the Lord narrated the whole story. Now Jesus asked, you know, who is the neighbor among these? Priest, Levite, or Good Samaritan? He said, Good Samaritan. Then Lord said, verse 37, you know, go and do thou likewise. You know, go. See, we must go and tell the people and help them. You know, what the Lord said, those that are in need, And this command is for each of us. You know, day by day we are coming in contact with those who need a friend, you know, who need some type of help, who are able to give. So my friends, now this evening, shall we like the priest and Levite, or like the Good Samaritan?
Yes. Amen.
We have to examine ourselves, we have to think about that, and to decide, you know. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, James chapter 4, verse 17, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Oh, I think Helen can read that verse in Telugu language. Can you read Telugu?
కాబట్టి మేలైనది చేయలేదు అలా చేయని మనకి పాపము కలుగు.
You are able to do something, you are able to help, but still you are denying. That is nothing but sin, you know.
Yeah.
Telling so many stories, many Christians tell so many stories. I need this, I need that, I cannot help now. You know, you are in a position, God knows whether you are in a position to help or not. God knows. If you don't, you are denying God's command. No? He said, go. Right? Go and do thou likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many of us like, you know, the lawyer and Levite and priest. Many of us, just escaping. There are many people, you know, dying without Christ. They are living in sin. They have never been reached with the gospel of Christ. They have never been reached with the love of Christ. You know, for such people, you must become a Samaritan. You must be a Samaritan to go and what Jesus did to us, you know. Jesus came all the way from heaven down to earth for you and me.
Yeah.
And he died in our place. He shed his blood for us. He cleansed all our sins, you know, by shedding his blood at the cross. Huh?
Right.
Good Samaritan representing Christ. You know? Good Samaritan representing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did his best for us. You know,
yeah.
We must be like Good Samaritans. And I appreciate you people for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share the word. And you know, and I thank you very much for, please keep praying for us, and we assure you of our prayers. Every Friday and Saturday in India, all our churches will spend all the night in praying till next day morning.
Mm.
We do that, fasting and praying. And we assure you of our prayers. And we want you also to uphold us in your prayers, so that, you know, we all can, you know, praying for each other, loving each other, we can reach the whole world,
yeah,
you know, for Christ. Thank you very much. God bless. And I again hand over the, you know, time to Pastor Dale Paul.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Pastor Peter. That was very, very good. You know, there's a couple of points I really picked up there with the
With the Good Samaritan. You know, it cost him something to save the life of this sinner. It cost him something. It cost him money. It cost him his time. It cost him his standing in the community. I mean, you know, there was a price that he paid, a dear price that he paid to save this sinner's life. And I want to tell you, if we do the things that God wants us to do to reach the lost, it will cost us also. You know, there's nothing free in God. And when we have a heart to go out and save somebody, you know, share the gospel with them, make no mistake, it's going to cost you something. And so I really enjoyed that, Pastor Peter. That was really good. I got some good notes there. So, dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this word, Father Lord, that Pastor Peter shared. Father Lord, we thank you for this time together. Father Lord, just take this word and just, Lord, just knit it into our hearts. And Father Lord, help us to spend time meditating on this word, Father, and all of your word, Father and Lord. See where we stack up, Father Lord, with the Good Samaritan story. Are we indeed a Good Samaritan? And are we willing to pay the cost and the price, Father Lord God, to go out and help save the lost, Father Lord? For it is a great price that we will pay, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father Lord God. Lord, thank you for all of the people that listen over the internet, Father Lord God, with the Behold of His Glory, Father. We're up to 70-some thousand hits just this year, Father Lord. And I know that, Father Lord, this word from Pastor Peter tonight, Father Lord God, will go into homes and hearts that people we will never ever meet until maybe someday we meet in heaven. And I just thank you for the opportunity for that, Father Lord. And we'll give you all the honor and the praise and the glory, Father Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.